I just want to continue what I was sharing last Sunday, but very briefly. It talks about having that accurate knowledge of Jesus Christ, having the accurate knowledge of Jesus Christ. It will change your life and make you live like him. It will change your life and make you live like him. Now, the Bible talks of Jesus as the love of God, really. He's the grace of God. The Bible said the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men. And Jesus is that grace of God. Jesus is that love of God. Jesus is the love of God in demonstration, on display. And the Bible also uses another word. It calls the love of God the love of Jesus. The Holy Spirit calls it the love of Jesus. So we're talking about knowing Jesus is knowing the love of God, and for God is love. Now, when you know Jesus and know him as the love of God, it does two things to your life. And these are the two things that I'll be talking about. I'll talk about the first one today. On Sunday, I'll talk about the second one. The first one is that it makes you love God. It makes you what? Love God. Number two, out of that, you're loving God, it makes you love people. The law of Moses will never make you love anybody. There is nothing that Moses had that makes a man love God or love somebody. That's why God set the law aside. Number two is that it makes you have strong faith in God. Knowing the love of God in Christ will make you love God, number one. It will make you love people as a result. And that's God's purpose, really, in all of this. And number two, it will make you have very strong faith in God. I want you to know, my brothers and sisters, that the whole thing that God is doing, the whole purpose of all of this that God is doing, is to bring his creation, man, to be like him. It's to be like him. To behave like him. To talk like him. And the way he did it was to give us his spirit. Give us the spirit of Christ, and so give us his life, give us his love. Why? Because God's purpose for you and for me is to relate with him, to love him with the same love with which he loved us. It's to love God with the same love with which what? He loved us. And you can't manufacture that love. The love that God wants us to use to relate with him is not what men can produce. It is the love of God. It is the purest love. Jesus said, there's no greater love than this. Doesn't get better than what God is talking to us about. And so God wants us to relate with him purely based on love. To love him back the same way he loves us. And then an offshoot of that is so that also we love people like God loves them. That's the whole summary of everything God is trying to do. It's not to coerce us into doing something. It's not to say, well, you know, if you don't do this, you go to hell. God is not using fear. For God does not give the spirit of what? Fear. He's not using fear at all. And when we employ fear, it's because of ignorance. The Bible says that it is the goodness of God that leads us to genuine repentance. You see, so when, you know, we grew up in this culture of fear and legalism and laws and we grew up in this culture of, you know, my last son who was sharing somewhere, he was telling this guy how they flogged him at the age of 5 in school. He would come back with marks on his ear. This is school. And then he told them this story in high school. Some of his teachers started to cry. And I said, yeah, they did it to him. Because that's our culture. We try to use force. We try to use fear to make you change. Now, listen to me. Those of you that change your children to Nigeria, listen to me, Riguro. That might work for a while. out of fear, you might walk for a while. But in adulthood, they revert back to what they do. Because now you are no more in the equation. The fear is gone now. They are themselves. That's why that society never changes. That's why corruption is in it has root there. Because we try to change it by human fear and all that. Yeah, all those children that you flog and do everything, in front of you, they behave. But behind you, they are wiser than you. They do stuff you can't even imagine. And because of fear of you, they hide it so very... We all grew up now. We did the same thing. We are mischievous. But all that flogging and things didn't really change nobody, really, actually. And it gave us this impression that the way to resolve conflict is by confrontation. Because sometimes parents fight their children. It's anger. Out of anger of what he did, you fight them. Now, God's method is not coercion at all. No. God wants us to relate with him by loving him back with the greatest love there is. And that's the love of God. Remember what when somebody asked Jesus, I said, what's the greatest law? He said, thou shalt love the Lord what? That God with what? Heart with what? All your might with what? All your strength with what again? That's all. Praise the Lord. He said, listen to what Jesus said. He said, all the laws and everything God is dealing with man hangs on this thing. That's what he said. Everything God is doing with you hangs on this. And he said, the second also is like unto this. Because you love God now, that love controls you. You begin to love man. Praise the Lord. And when you love man, you have fulfilled the laws of God. You know, some people ask me questions about divorce and things. I said, the only law that the church has is the law of love. We don't have two laws. It's just one. Because if you love, you fulfill everything God wants. If you love like God, you behave like God. And if you behave like God, there's no law against you. In marriage, if you love like God, you behave like God. If you're following me, shout hallelujah. Now, this same love of God, like we shared now, is what changes our life. But there is this whole block, this whole issue that will not let a man know Jesus or know the love of God. It's this sense of entitlement, which we also agree with, which is natural to man. It's natural in the world. It's the world system. It goes by entitlement. You got your job because you qualify for it. If you come for an interview, they say you are not qualified for it. So we get things by entitlement. We get things by self-achievement. And if I have this sense of entitlement, I will not understand love. I will not. Let me give you an example. Like I said on Thursday, how many of you have ever written your job and said, thank you for loving me for my paycheck? You won't do that. Why? You're entitled to it. You work for it. And at the end of the month, they what? They pay you. And if they don't pay you, your union will go on strike. You don't write your job. You don't see your director and say, my director, how much you love me. I just thank God for you. You really, really love me. Say, why? Because I get my paycheck. No, you're entitled to it. So there is no sense of appreciation. There is no sense of appreciation. And what leads to love is a sense of appreciation. You will not, brethren, understand the love of God as long as you have this mindset of entitlement. Can I hear amen? As long as you have this mindset of entitlement, you are not going to understand the love of God. Listen, we talk about Jesus. We sing about Jesus. We talk about God's love. But I want to challenge you this morning to do some mental mathematics. Go out there and tell me how many people live the love of God. And the proof that you know the love of God is that you are living it. It's not that you are talking about it. The proof that you know something is that you are doing it. Bible proof that you know the love of God is that you are actually what? Doing it. You may have heard the word of God, but you may not know it. You may quote scripture accurately. You don't even know that scripture. So this sense of entitlement that we naturally grew up with, we drag it to church too in relating with God. But that's what God said, I don't want you to have. I don't want you to relate with me with a sense of entitlement, a sense of I have achieved this. It's called self-righteousness. It's called pride of life. Pride of life is taking pride in what you have achieved. Self-achieved something. The Bible calls it pride of life. It said that's the system of the world. That if you love the world, all this pride of life, that the love of God will never operate in your life. Because you don't, everything you are doing with God is based on entitlement. I pray a lot. I do this a lot. I do this one a lot. I do night vigil a lot. I visit it a lot. And perhaps I'm good enough. So God doesn't want us to live that kind of life. Look at Deuteronomy. Even from the Old Testament, he started to talk about it. Deuteronomy 8:15. Do not forget that. Are you following what I'm saying? If you are following me, say amen. Do not forget that he had led you through the great and terrifying wilderness with its poisonous snakes and scorpions, where it was so hot and dry. He gave you water from the rock. He fed you with manna in the what? You are not following me. Oh, it's not up there. Deuteronomy 8:15. I thought you have it. Okay, I think I can read it from my Bible. Deuteronomy 8. You can read it from your Bible too now. Deuteronomy 8:15. Who led thee through? I'm reading New Living Translation. New Living Translation. Okay. Do not forget. See how I started? Do not what? Forget. I want to hear you. Do not what? Forget. Don't forget that it is through the cross you are saved. Don't forget what God has done. So you switch to your own what you've done as a basis for relationship. No. Do not forget that he led you through the great and terrifying wilderness with the poisonous snakes and scorpions, where it was so hot and dry. He gave you what? Water from the rock. Continue. He fed you with what? Manna in the up until this point. Which one have we done? Nothing. A food unknown to your ancestors. He did this to humble you and test you for your own good. He did all of this so you will never say to yourself, I have what? Achieved this wealth with my own strength and energy. Remember now the Lord your God. He is the one who gives you power to be successful in order to fulfill the covenant he confirmed to your ancestors with an oath. God is saying, don't ever live this life of self, this life of entitlement. He said, don't do that. Because if you do that, you will not relate with me with the love that I want you to relate with me with. Do not do that. Always remember, it is God that did this for you. It's God that did this for you. And in seeing what God did for you, you begin to appreciate God, and in appreciating God, you fall in love with God. Amen? I said amen. First Chronicles 16:34. This scripture was sent to me. It was my daughter, Emerda, that sent me this scripture. The thing clicked in my spirit on Thanksgiving Day. She sent it on Thanksgiving Day. I said, wow, this is absolutely what I want to preach about. You know, First Chronicles, Emel, what chapter is that? I think it was 1634. Oh, give thanks, what? Unto the Lord for his mercy, what? We read this scripture. Do you understand really what the Holy Spirit is saying? He's saying that the reason you have this heart of gratitude is simply because of God's love for you. That the reason you give thanks to the Lord is for He is good. For what? He is good. It's because He loves you. He's good. And because of His mercies, because of His love. Now, if you do not know the goodness of God in your life, if you do not know the mercies of God in your life, you will not give thanks. You can come here and dance. You can even bring your offering and everything. But you may not really be giving thanks from your heart. Because you see, when it's value system. When somebody does something for you, you don't merit. You don't merit. And something that brings great value to your life, it initiates real gratitude to that person. And that gratitude leads you to love that person back. Praise the Lord. I say praise the Lord. But if you have this sense of entitlement, which we do have naturally, you know, where I come from, God will help us there. We say, which means, does He feed me? And the next thing is, who does He think He is? The next thing, my friend, you're apart from here, which means, get out, I don't need you. And we say, which means we don't have a king. Why? Is He feeding? You see how that plays out? Sense of entitlement. You don't feed me. Because you don't feed me, I don't value you. And if I don't value you, I won't love you. And I can do without you. It leads to pride. It leads to terrible, prideful life. It leads to being unteachable. It leads to destruction. When you lift up, the thing lifts you up above God. You become a god unto yourself. We grew up in this culture of entitlement. And what does it give us? We don't respect people. We don't care. Talk to people anyhow. There's no respect. Because after all, is He feeding me? If He's not feeding me, so why should I value Him? Why should I respect Him? And with that mindset, there's no love. Everything now boils down to obligation. Scratch my back, scratch your back. If you don't scratch my back, I don't scratch your back. Praise the Lord. You are no more here. Have you gone home? If you are here, say amen. I think I'm now in your backyard. That's what we do. And we bring it right into our marriages too. You do this, and I do this. And if you don't do this, there's trouble here. Then we bring it to God. Because that's what we know. You see, they say what you don't know is bigger than you. Because that's what we know. So when we come to God, we come with this sense of entitlement too. Because that's the way we are brought up. And so, when things happen to us, you know what we ask? God, after all these things that I've been doing, I've been serving you, after serving you. And we even ask God, God, where are you? And these things are happening to me because I'm entitled to your attention. And some people say, I'm no more going to church again. Why are you no more going to church again? Because you feel God did not meet your entitlement. First John 2:15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. 16, for all that is in the world, all this world system that doesn't have any sense of God's love, they don't even know what God has sacrificed for them, that God gave us His Son. They have no idea. They have no idea at all about God's love. He said, all that is in this world, I'm reading King James Version. Okay, leave that one. Leave that one. It's good. New Living Translation. For the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see, especially now that we are doing Black Friday. While at Black Friday, let me tell you what I found out, too, in case you have not found out. All this reduced price may not be reduced price, though. I found out that they jack the price up and they reduce it for you. Right? So why don't you wear the same shoe you have? What is wrong with it? Praise the Lord. So now he's telling us, he said, all this craving for everything we see and pride in our what? Achievement and position. These are not from the Father, but are from the world. These people are totally ignorant of God's love for them. And so they dwell and revel in self-achievement. He said, don't copy them. And don't have this sense of a self-achievement. And it's called pride of life. He said, if you have it, the love of the Father will not work. You can't love God. You can't. It's not possible. They don't coexist. This sense of self-pride and self-achievement does not coexist with the love of God. Because the love of God is learned by what God did for you free. Don't forget that it was God that did this for you. God did this for you. God did this for you. God, don't say your arm has achieved this what? For me. He said the moment you have that sense, that mindset, the love of God stops working in your life. You are cut off. You will not see. You are blinded to who Jesus is. You can be in church. You can be a senior pastor. You can be anything you are, but you are not going to live the love of God. You can follow 10 commandments as you like to, but you are not going to live the love of God. Praise the Lord. Look at what the Bible says to us. 1 John 14. 1 John 14. In this is love. Not that we... Are you getting what I'm saying? Huh? Okay. 1 John 14. In this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he what? Loved us. And sent his son to be the propitiation of our sins. You know, we read these things. Reading it is one thing. But seeing the love of God in that is another different thing. They're not the same thing. It's showing us how much God loves us. It's simply demonstrable. It's easily seen that God loved us so much that he sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. I can read this. It won't have any effect on me whatsoever. Just be another Bible we read today, church. Look at Romans 5, 8. But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were what? Still sinners. What happened? Christ died for us. So God demonstrated this love for us. The same thing he did to Israel. He said, Israel, I took you to the wilderness for your own good so that you will see that it is God that giveth the power to make what. So you will never say in this your life that I did this. Because if you start saying what you did, you forget what I did. If you forget what I did, you will not appreciate me, you will not love me. We'll be out of sync. I'm love. You'll be another thing altogether. So what we need to do is to remove this thing called pride of life. Is to remove this self-achievement thing. Which God says, don't you ever get involved in it. If to take it away from us. Look at, now let me show you Luke chapter 18 verse 9. What it does to people. Can all those people out there come inside and sit down? Help me get them inside. Okay. Let them come inside and sit down. Everybody. Luke chapter 18, verse 9. And he spake this parable unto certain, which what? I didn't hear you. Which what? I want to hear it louder. Which what? which what? Trusted in themselves that they were righteous. They have become righteous. They have become good. They have become awesome. They have become, you know, I'm just so good. Lord, I don't commit adultery. No, Lord. I'm such a wonderful. No. And if you have some titles to add to it, to that, you know, you become special. But brethren, did you ever read what God says? God is no respecter of what? There's no special person to God. We must learn it too. There's no special person to God. There's nothing you do that gives you a privileged position with God. It is zero, nothing. Absolutely zero, nothing. That's what God is warning us. He said, I don't want you to ever say, my arm has what? Achieved this for me. Don't ever say it the rest of your life. Because whatever you are, I made you what you are. Can I hear amen? He said, and he spake this parable unto certain who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and did what now? Despised others. Now, look up here. Let me show you something. You know, as I'm here, I'm looking on your heads. I see all the bald heads. Don't hide your head. I'm not talking to point you out. I'm looking on your head. But you know, if I come down, let me just come down for a minute. If I come down where you are, I'm looking at you like this. You know, if I exalt myself in self-righteousness, the natural thing I do is to look down. Okay. That's what happens. Pride fills my heart. And I become difficult to please. Person of high maintenance value. There's nothing I will appreciate. Because again, in any money, are you feeding me? Who are you? I'm telling you. This is awful. Total. That's why God said, don't you ever do that in your life. Because it's going to ruin you. You know, so they despised. Can you imagine a human being despising other human beings? Despising other human beings. And what brought us there is this sense of what I have achieved. Self-righteous. I did it. And when they want to talk to you, they want to intimidate you. Say, bro, praise the Lord, you know. Woke up this morning and had time with the Lord. The Lord said to me, after about 3 hours, that's when the Lord spoke to me. The Lord is good. All right. If you see such people, leave them. They just want to impress you. And especially if you're a pastor, you see all this is happening. Once they see a pastor, everybody wants to impress pastor. I see it a lot. And all like this. Because that's the way I am too. All of us are the same thing. Except God helps us. We're all the same thing and the tempest. Sometimes I want to impress my wife too. All of us. What I'm telling you is what I do. All of us do it. But we're growing out of it gradually. Gradually. I'm not better than you. You want to report me? She's here. She's hearing it already. Praise the Lord. So let's go further and read the scripture. Verse 10. Two men went up into the temple to pray. Now, let's see these two people that come to God. The one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with what? Himself. God, I thank you that I'm not as... Do you think that thank thee God means much? He was thanking God. Well, he said, I'm not... As the other men are, these men are, what are they? Extortioners. What are they again? Unjust. What are they again? Adulterers. Or even this man that just joined our church, this publican. See? I fast. How many in the week? What can we add today? I do night vigil. What else can we add? Huh? What else can we add? Dry fasting, white fasting, red fasting, 100 days, 40 days. The list can go on and on. On and on. Not that they are not, you can fast, it's good. I'm not saying it's not good, but don't let it bring you to a place where you think it's your hand at what? It's good to fast. Fasting is good. It's part of your supplication packet in seeking God. But don't let it take away the fact that it can't take the place of Jesus. We'll never take the place of Jesus. He said, I fast twice in the week. I give tithes to all that I possess. You see, he's writing his resume. Exactly what God says, don't try that. And the publican standing where? Outside the church safe, will not even lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven. Because, let me tell you why. Because you see, these people, they were not really too strict followers of the law. The Pharisees were so much after the law that they saw themselves as righteous. Paul said, concerning the law, what? Perfect. But these publicans were the common people. Commoners. They were the commoners. You know, so to them, they say, he that is down, this shall no fall. And then look at him. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be what? Merciful to me, a sinner. God said, don't come talking about what your hand has done. Remember, I'm the one that gave you this, gave you this, gave you this. It's my mercy. It's my love. And Jesus told us that is the one that God was looking at. Now, for us to know Jesus very well, for us to know Jesus very well, my brothers and sisters, I want to tell you something. We must dismantle this sense of self-righteousness. It is important that we dismantle it. Totally important, because that's what Paul did. That's where Paul started. For Paul to begin to see who Jesus was. Because he said before, I used to see Jesus merely as a physical, you know, from human point of view. He said, but I dismantled something that was blocking me from seeing the love of God. It's this sense of achievement. He said, I dismantled all of it and threw it away. And we can do that. Can I hear amen? Amen. We can do that because we can do all things. Philippians 3:5. This is now Paul talking. I was circumcised when I was what? 8 days old. That's what the law prescribes. I'm a pure-blooded citizen of where? Israel. And a member of the tribe of Benjamin. A real Hebrew, if there was ever one. I was a member of the Pharisees who demand the strictest obedience to the Jewish law. Let's see again. I was so zealous that I harshly persecuted the church. And as for righteousness, I obeyed the law without fault. How can this kind of person not think that he has achieved something? That's Paul. I once thought that these things were what? Valuable. But I now consider them worthless because of what Christ said. You see why he dismantled all of that? He said, before I thought that this was something important. I said, no, I had to dismantle all of this. It's not what my arm has done for me. It's the love of God. It's what Jesus did. It's the sacrifice of God for me that brings me into a sense of appreciation for God and moves me to love God in return. He said, it's not because of what Christ has done. This is what is now important to me. Let's continue to read. Yes, everything else is now what? I didn't hear you. Everything else is now what? Worthless. When compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for his sake, I have finally discarded of everything else, counting it all as what? Garbage. Why? So that I could now gain Christ, so that I see God's love in Christ for me, see what he did for me, continue. And become one with him. One with him. I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather now, I became righteous only through faith in Christ. For God's way of making us right with himself depends on faith. Simple. Can I hear amen? Look at the result of this kind of thing. Immediately, he dismantled all these things. Look at what he said in 2 Corinthians 5:14. Look at how his life controlled. He has become one with Christ. He said, I want to become one with Christ. I want to be like him. I want to behave like him. I want to be controlled with the same love with which he loves me. I want to love him with the same love. That's what God's plan is. So we love God with the same love with which God loves us. And then love man with the same love with which God loves man. That's exactly what Paul said. He said, either way, Christ's love now, what? Controls us. Somebody shout hallelujah. He said, I want to become one with Christ. I want to be in sync with him. This love he has that brought him to die for me, I want the same love to control me. So that this love will make me love God with the same love of God and love man. He says, either way, Christ's love now controls us. Since we believe that Christ... You're not talking. Since we believe that Christ what? Died for us. We also believe that we have all died to our old self. What's the result? He died for everyone so that those who receive this new life will no longer live. So we now live exactly the same way he lived because he died for us. We too die. Instead, they will live for Christ who died and was raised for them. You can count how many times he repeated the word, he died for us, he died for us. You can count how many times he was now putting his value system not on the righteousness of the Jews and things. He was looking up to Jesus and saying, oh my God, he died for me. He loved me and gave his life for me. So he became very appreciative of that. And because he became very appreciative of that, he fell in love with Jesus. Can I hear amen? Paul fell in love with Jesus. Paul fell in love with Jesus. Look at Acts 21:13. I want us to read it together. Acts 21:13. Then Paul replied, what do you mean by what? Weeping and doing what? Breaking my heart like this. I hold myself in readiness, not only to what? To be arrested and bound and imprisoned at Jerusalem, but also even to die for what? See what love does. One man was writing, a missionary. He said the reason that Christians are not effective in soul winning is that they are not ready to die for it. He said, they are not ready. He said, they serve God on the surface. You see why God says, don't trust in what you do. It's my love that will bring you to a point in a relationship where you'll be prepared to die for me. Because I also died for you. I don't know if I'm communicating to you. So it's not something you do by 10 commandments, something. No. It's to know Jesus and to know the love of God. So you fall in love with God. You have to fall in love with God. You have to fall in love with God. Say it after me. We have to fall in love with God. That's what God's goal is in our relationship with him. God wants us to relate with him by love, not just any love, but the purest and the greatest form of love, which is God's kind of love. So with the same love with which God loves you, you know, we talk about God loves me all the time. God loves me all the time. Yes, God loves us all the time. But the purpose, that love is supposed to also ignite in us the same love for God. So we love God with the same love, and then the offshoot is that we love people like God what? Loves us. Amen? I said amen. Amen. First Corinthians 14:1. First Corinthians 14:1. Eagerly pursue and seek to acquire this love. Make it your aim, your great quest. Now, finally, 1 Corinthians 13:13. Three things will last forever. What are those three things? Faith, number two, love, number three, hope, number three, love. And the greatest of this is what? Is love. Now, 1 John 4:20. If a man says, I love God. Now, if a man dances all over the church, shouting how he loves God, but he hates his brother, he is what? Like, let's read it together, that line. One, two, go, let's go. If a man say, I love God, and hated his brother, he is what? He's a lie. Let's read it one more time. If a man says, I love God, and hated his brother, he is what? He's a lie. Let's read it one more time. If a man says, I love God, and hated his brother, he's a liar. Stop there. Put your life beside this statement. Let the Holy Spirit talk to you. Just put your life side by side and let the Holy Spirit shine light on you. All this we love. I love you, Lord. And we, I love you, Lord. You know, one time the Lord said to me, he said, if people believe those things, they sing in church. He said, my power will explode every time they come. He said, because they sing what they don't believe. If a man say, I love God, and hate his brother, speak evil about him, brethren, speak evil about him, talk evil about him, talk evil about him. The Bible says you're lying. Gossip about him. The Bible says you're lying. Bear grudge about him. The Bible says you're lying. Bear resentment against him. The Bible says you're lying. There is no way I can hear gossip against my sister and still love her. Immediately I hear that gossip. The moment I see her, that gossip will what? It's a demonic seed. It's a demonic seed. That's why the Bible says, guard your heart with what? All diligence. My wife and I were coming back from where we went in. Now we're talking about something. There's something that happened in Nigeria, and I was sharing with her when I went to Nigeria, that this is what they told me that happened. And my wife said, why are you there? I said, no. He said, don't tell me. He said, my husband, if you are not there, don't listen. He said, Pastor Victor taught us something. I've forgotten it, Pastor. Maybe you repeat that thing. He said, Pastor Victor taught us something. He said, have you forgotten? That Pastor Victor put 7 people and then gave them message. Gave the first person message to pass to the next person. He said, by the time they got to the 7th person, he said, that message has been adulterated. He said, have you forgotten? He said, Pastor Victor taught us that. He said, I've never forgotten that lesson he taught us. He said, you were not there. Don't tell me, I don't want to. Because even if it's happened, it has been adulterated. And she told me, my wife teaches me a lot. Only I don't pay you. I pay you, go and sit down. I bought you a shoe now. If you don't say yes, I go and get a refund. No, somebody gave her shoes. Somebody blessed her with shoes. So she said to me, she said, if you are not where something happened, don't listen. Because they've diluted it. He said, even if you are where something happened, do you know the motive? He said, let God judge all things. You see, that's what the love of God says. When you say the love of God controls you, I don't see God sitting up in heaven and hearing gossip. I say, eh? So this is how that Chinedu is. I didn't know before. Ah! So he come near and tell me, I beg, I was not there when he did that. God won't listen to that junk. God has no time for evil. Anything that evil has no place in God. There's no evil in God. Evil word, evil speaking, evil all this. Evil is what? Evil. God has no time for it. All that bitterness, all that hatred, all that this, all that pride of life, you know, I did this and did it, has no place in God at all. Love of God is pure. It does something for you at its own cost, at no cost to you, simply because he loves you. Praise the Lord. Church, I said praise the Lord. The reason the church of Christ is weak, I'm going to take it on by God's grace next Sunday. If cancel your trip, come here. Because you'll see wonders here. Because I'll show you why you don't receive nothing from God. Why all the struggle and struggle, nothing. It's right tied to all of this. I'm not joking. This is it. This is the key that unlocks all of that. And this is why people struggle 10 years as a Christian, 15 years as a Christian. They're still being controlled by the same emotional problem they have. There's no change. It's not by power. It's not by might. Paul said, I want to dismantle all this self-righteousness thing so I can be one with Christ. And when he did that, he said, the love of Christ is now controlling me. Because I now see that he loved me and gave his life for me. He said, this love is amazing. And he fell in love with God. He fell in love. Paul was so much in love with Jesus. That's where God wants all of us to be. Not to follow him because of hell. Or the thing. Don't you know Christians don't do that? Yeah, we know, but people still do that. But the love of God controlling me will pull me out of that. Because the love of God is pure. Pull me out of that. Just take me out of it. I was talking to her. He said, my husband, were you there? He said, I don't want to. That's controlled by the love of God. He has love for the same people and doesn't want to be polluted with that kind of. She just said it. I just realized. I said, my wife, you know you're right. I said, no, no, it's true. That junk. But we want to hear what we want to hear now. We always like to still want to. How can you say that you love God when the Bible said, love your enemies and do good what? To them that hate. But as soon as somebody does something wrong, we can't forget them, can't forgive them. No. You know, something amazed me. Somebody was telling me how, because of what he did to the wife many years ago, the wife is doing something to him that is about to almost take his life. And that many years ago, many years ago. And we sing, we love Jesus. But, you know, I not started to teach this thing on Sunday. And God told me, he said, many Christians don't know my love. That's why they're like that. Paul said, I had to dismantle all this. It's all this self-righteousness that I was counting on, thinking it gives me privileged position with Christ. He said, no, it's all garbage. I want to know Christ now. And the Holy Spirit will open your eyes to know if you want to know. When you say, for God so loved the world, it's a sentence full of meaning. It's full of meaning. You can't know the love of God and it doesn't transform your heart. It's not possible. It's not possible. And so that's why we have all these issues in the church. Insult us, church. We insult people in the kitchen. We call them names. We hold them in derision. Don't even respect your pastors sometimes. I'm telling you. It's all this prideful pride sitting there because on a money. What's he doing for me? Really? Praise the Lord. Let's rise up. Open my eyes, O Lord.